Okay, so welcome from my end. Thanks to Ulrich, I enjoyed this level of abstraction. And forgive me if I raised the level of abstraction a little bit. I would like to tell you, so my name is Stefan, I'm also with Gustav Neumann's group, more from the research end, so to say. So in my everyday research, I'm looking into model-driven software development. So it's like UML, SysML to code, simplistically speaking. And also how to engineer languages. And this is where I looked, this started 2 years from now, and I looked into building a small toolkit that helps develop your little language, yeah, your favorite language. So we all like developing small languages, little languages of our own, right? We want to reinvent the wheel. We want to have our, Tickle is very famous of it, right? Everyone wants to have his or her own expression language, sub-language. Yeah? So this is gearing into this direction. So, and I came up with, I hope that this is actually turning out just right. The toolkit I came up with is called Teacher DSL. So who is from Vienna? Who experienced the 90s in Vienna? Misha, I know. Patrick, so is the fame, does the name ring a bell? No, so Teacher DSL, he was a famous DJ when I grew up, so that's Vienna electronic music that I grew up with, but also he formed his name out of a very important term, Leihwand. Yeah? So we talked about during the lunch break about Viennese or Austrian dialect and language development, so Leihwand is a very important term. Yeah? It means like cool, excellent, awesome, and if you really like your Tickle, then you can say, oh, it's Leihwand or Urleihwand. And I'm not even Viennese, I'm Carinthian, but I'm still picked that one as a kind of homage, so to say. So these little languages I want to show you, so to say, so from your Tickle background, you know little languages, right? So I mentioned the expression language. You also know maybe the more exotic ones, like the freeform clock format scan, this infamous language where you can form this. I took this from the Tickle Wiki, right? This basically means clock scan yesterday, but you can, you know, just make it more complicated, and so it gives you all of these means of expression, but also, you know, the standard ones like the regular expression syntax, the pattern syntax, etc. I'm not so interested, I'm also interested in the Tickle, so to say, style of little languages, but more generally speaking, a domain-specific language or a little language typically focuses on one aspect of a software system, right? It might be a configuration language, it might be a language that helps you probably work your way through the socket API, right? Typically, it's a small wrapper around a complicated API, maybe, and it gives you some syntax-driven ways to express yourself. But it's also important that DSLs that don't give you a complete software system, typically you need multiple DSLs, like in Tickle, to form a complete program, okay? I chose an example that is straightforward. It's also very famous in the research literature where I come from, but I also use it in my teaching. It's a small language that is just meant to define the schema of a database. Basta. Yeah? So it's a database definition language, if you want. In the textbook, it's called Pongo. Or emphatic, so what does it give you? We want to realize, so to say, we might have different backends, we might have a document-oriented backend or a NoSQL backend, so to say, in the widest sense, or a classical one. But in the end, we want to have, so to say, a schema that fits this into this model. We have three concepts. This might be three tables, three relations. Could also be a structure of nested documents. But we want to express, so to say, using a special purpose language, this definition task. And behind the scenes, what you want to get is a data model. Yeah? You could choose your own modeling language of choice here, but this is what this script should represent in the end. This example that you can also later on try out, so this is an executable tutorial, right? You can try it out and by fetching it from GitHub, and this is again kudos to Mark Janssen, so he created this cool Tickle Jupyter kernel, and this just uses, so to say, my small script collection, Tickle module collection, in his Jupyter environment, if you want. What you see here is, you've just seen this Pongo script here, that says, oh, we want to have three concepts, they have certain attributes, different types of attributes, containment-based attributes like the values and references, which are non-hierarchical relationships between the concepts. And then we want to get this data model, and then we might get some, you know, a fancy object command to data structure to database mapping. Yeah? But you might also just take your, it might not be, I just reuse an existing work by Gustav Neumann in this example, which is a connector, a wrapper around MongoDB. But you could also picture maybe using a JSON kind of structure that then goes into a JSON structured document database or so. And then this connects to the MongoDB client, it's like the running story, and you get, so to say, the schema set up, and then in the next step you also have the basic atomic operations. You can say save, load, delete, and so forth. That's like the running example. And what technically it's a kind of a system of Tickle modules called DJDSL, and it gives you a common development system, so to say, or a systematic way to form, to express these data models, as one example. In my research, I'm more interested in designing little languages, let's say, for configuration modeling in certain domains. So it depends, yeah? But it's a generic syntax-driven development environment for little languages. So what do you need to tackle? So as a checklist, if you want to develop a small language, you have to define, in a way, in more or less systematic ways, a language model. Yeah? A language model could be something that gives you in essence, the means to say, I want to have a concept, a class, I want to have certain types of relationships between them. That's the language model. And you use the language model to form the data model that gives you one here for our little block application, a concrete data model. So you have this core language model, and then on top of the model, you can already use that one, right? You can then create instances of these concepts and maybe push a button, say save, and then it goes into the database. But then we want, this is the domain-specific part, right? We have our favorite, like we have our favorite colors and button styles and themes in our graphical user interfaces. We also have our favorite concrete syntaxes in a textual way. So then you define one or several syntaxes. Tickle is very strong in providing means to use what software language engineers call an internal DSL. You can reuse the Tickle syntax, modify it, specialize it. Let's say you could have a child interpreter, maybe a safe interpreter, a sandbox. And within, you could use just the expression command at the top level, right? And then you use the expression syntax, so to say, as your main, the Tickle expression syntax, as your main metaphor, so to say, right? And then you just make little tweaks. You add certain maybe operators and so. I think this is a common theme that some of you might know from the Tickle community context. But then, if you have a full-fledged language development system, you also need certain ways to express constraints, right? So under which conditions is a block that you create and posts consistent? Yeah? Is there are certain requirements? So at the modeling level, that's super convenient because we just model it, right? But there's no machine to execute it. These cardinalities, right? How many posts should there be, right? Minimum, maximum, upper, lower bounds, and so. These are these kind of constraints that you want to express, and obviously also behavioral constraints. How should something behave? How to add behavior? So I'm going to focus on the concrete syntax part, how to make this little script that I showed earlier, go through, so to say, define it, parse it, then throw already some, create a block, and save it. Yeah? And to some extent, so I'm going to skip that part. There's some fancy alien research on it, right? So there's let's say the ordinary alien. That's the Eclipse world, the Java world, right? Where you have tooling that allows to create these language-driven environments. Where you say you specify a grammar, then you have a generative process, a generator that gives you an editor and basic IDE support, and then you can refine it. There's more alien research, monster alien research, as I call it, that comes from the Smalltalk environment, also Java-driven one, that is purely research, it's not used in practice, also not with our industry partners, but there's a lot of, so to say, that they tackle all of these, let's say, more exotic problems in this field. Yeah. So what do we actually want? Well, from a Tickle level, so if you want to execute this here, because again, kudos to Mark Janssen. We can execute this here in the slides, and you should be able to read it, but I'm going to read it. It's just an invalid command. So the thing is, we want to have something, right? We want to have something between, I just want to express my database schema in my favorite way, to save my block, And this should be done within a few steps. And we all know this infamous, or I learned it in the Tickle chat, the tip 131, the do what I do, read my mind and do what I mean. So we want to have this kind of little magical box that that does it, right? So right now we don't have the magical box, and I try to, you know, create a little magical box. What I coin it here, right? I do this little read my mind kind of DSL development style. We want to have, on our example, a little a means to express a language model. We want to say I want to express classes and values and attributes. Then I want to choose one or several syntaxes. I might want to choose, let's say, what is called an internal syntax. I want to modify the Tickle syntax a little bit, or just tweak the Tickle syntax processing machinery in a way from the script level to look more appealing. Yeah, to the domain expert or the one that creates his language, her language. Then we have an external. This is what I want to show you today. So here I built on the fabulous work of Andreas Kupris. Yeah, so you might know that there is a very cool and also very researchy parser tools package in TickleLib that implements an even cooler machinery for not production grammars and production grammar generators, but for passing machines or passing grammars. So it's a recognizer system. Yes? So there's a TickleLib package, right? And what I did, basically, I took it and added a few bits to it. Yeah? And I'm going to show you these bits. But basically, it gives you a kind of EBNF kind of grammar style, and you can say, please give me a parser, and the parser does this magical thing that I just mentioned. And you also obviously at some point, right, this is a generative process, you generate code from structural information, so this cannot be complete. As I said before, DSLs don't give you a complete application, they only give you a skeleton, so to say, and you have to fill in, so there's also certain standard ways, systematic ways to place your behavior. Let's say how do you actually connect via the connector to the database and save it and so on. So how does this work? First, we have to do a language model definition. I just give you this bird's eye perspective. The bird's eye perspective means we create a language model. So these are, for those that know Tickle.io a little bit, yeah, so this is written in the next scripting a language, which has a common ancestor to Tickle.io, which is Exotical, right? So it's one of the Tickle.io object systems. But you could also picture these as Tickle.io classes. So it's a kind of structure of nested classes. We say we want to create a language model and picture this. We want to be able to draw this little picture. We want to say classes and connections between them. They are called then references, and we want to give attributes. So we define this language model. Now that's our language toolbox that we have. And this is, again, these are just Tickle commands, and they happen to be objects, right? That you can use as objects. So if you check then what we just defined, you get a list of these nested objects, and they can be used to model your little application, yeah? Your database definition language. The next thing that in DJSL you do, you have to say, this is a very shallow, a very simple example, we just want to say, we want to use this language model now, right? This is called composition. So basically, this is a very straightforward one. We just say we have a very basic language model. There are no additions, right? There is no additional features coming in. You're going to see in a second. So it's like a superfluous step, but for educative or for demonstrative purposes, I showed it. You create this additional concept, a shallow Pongo, and you say, oh, please bind all the things I defined in my language model before, right? Then, and this is now the step maybe to something that is more syntax directed, we can already create instances, right, of classes, of relationships. We can basically program this little picture that we had. This is what we can do. And we could use it directly, but we want to have a nice concrete syntax on top of it, right? So we have to define the syntax. We define the syntax, again, using an EBNF-like notation. There are two levels of these parsing rules, as they are called. There are the, let's say, more primitive or low-level details. Typically, this in ordinary environments, this would be done at the Lexer level. In language engineering, this is called scannerless parsing, so we have basically lexing, character-oriented processing, plus token-based processing in one definition. So here we basically say, what are our keywords, let's say, right? You might have spotted there are some keywords like DB, class, and so. WS means white space handling, so we throw away the white spaces. And in Andrea's tooling, void means this is recognized, it's processed, it's checked, but it's going to be thrown away in our passing result. Yeah? So this is our basic vocabulary. And then it becomes a little bit more complicated. Yeah? We have non-terminal rules that try to say, how do we map, and I picked one example out of it, how you map certain sentences in our Pongo script, yeah, the at DB class, whatever, statement, into an instance of this language model that we just defined, right? And in standard tooling, how this happens is you define the grammar, you create a parser, you process the text, then you have a parse tree. This is like textbook knowledge, right? Then you go down the parse tree and somehow make sure that you create all these, whatever, objects or maybe database entities and so on. Yeah? So this is the standard way here. This is, again, all done in once. We define the instantiation of the language model. These are these like the tick statements. They say whenever this rule is matched, make an instance of the concept class. So how does this look like if we have, so here we could look at the complete grammar. Let's see how this works. And just split it up. So this is actually how the parser generator sees it. Okay, that's the complete grammar. And what does it mean step by step? So this is in our script. We have this one a sentence, ATB class block. And these are the two responsible rules taken from this larger grammar. And there we say, make sure that the right-hand side matches, and the right-hand side matches when all of the dependent rules, so to say, match. But when it matches, then create an instance of the concept class. Create an instance of this concept class. It could be a tickle or object that, that occurs. It could be a tickle command. It could be a namespace if you have a kind of a... You can have different opportunities to represent this in your tickle program. But in the end, you want to have an instance, one sort, one kin of this concept class that has a name. Where does the name come from? Here in the sentence, we say that the second element that is being matched, or sorry, it's the third word that is being matched, becomes the name of this concept. And how is this done? Well, the rule matches. So there is a rule called ID. When this matches, we have an assignment that says first create class and then make instance of class, set the name of this instance to whatever we matched, right? The input, the string input. So this is how this proceeds, right? And you might picture, right, because you have that, this is where research comes in, right? You have problems that, that you're creating a graph structure, right? Objects have cyclic dependencies. Yeah? So there might be an attribute being, a post being created first, and then there might be a block being created first, but the syntax processing is very hierarchical, right? So you might not be able to create all instances at a given time, so there's a lot of details that need to go into this processing. Although in the end, it's fairly straightforward from the storyline. So how does this look like? We have created, you know, so here in the string, a first grammar. There is this string, right, the grammar string, and we want to create one command that packs this grammar into a command that we can use, a parser, basically, right? So we have one grammar definition, we can create a number of parsers, and at these parsers, we throw the input. So, or finally, we got some of this, you know, read my mind thingy, so we progressed a little, so we can say, this is the script I showed you before, yeah, a script that should conform to this syntax definition as I defined it in my grammar. And I created the parser, this Pongo parser. This is derived from the grammar, so the grammar is instantiated here. Then we have a parser. You can have multiple parsers of the same grammar. And then you parse. And the question is, what is the output? So what would be on your wish list? What would you like to see? Typically, we have then some kind of abstract syntax graph or abstract syntax tree, right? Maybe it could be a list of lists, for instance, right? So something that is native to Tickle, and then you would have to work with. What we get is already a ready-made instance of all the language model concepts. We get an instance of block, of post, of author, and so forth. So the result of this is basically already a structure of objects that you would have to create manually if you want to. Now there's something missing. Because there's no behavior. We're going to see in a sec. Oh no, I should have maybe elaborated, so I have to evaluate this one. That's the demonstration effect, right? So who said that we should have just slides? Was it me? Okay. Let me see whether there's this fancy Jupyter thing that says execute up to this moment. And then let's hope for the best. 5 minutes. So, show bookmark. So here we are. Pardon? There's run everything, yes, but that wouldn't be incremental, right? So now we are safe. So. You see, that's pretty new to me. I just packed it into the Jupyter notebook. I cannot drive it. So what we don't have here, in fact, is so what we get is already this structure in programmatic terms. Okay, so if you get this is the result of the parsing process. So we have an instance of our data model, and we can then do the ordinary stuff. It's like using info commands, yeah, the tickle commands or next scripting commands that basically give you navigation support, right? So this is just means, oh, here we have two references and they're named author. So here we have a reference that is named author, and so forth. But there's still something missing. Ay, ay, ay. Yeah. So what we are missing is we don't have these nested structures. We want to say, create me a new blog, right? Create me a new post. This is, so to say, missing. We're missing some behavior, some additional one. And how DJDSL allows you to do so, what we just defined is the base layer, the base collaboration. And in DJDSL, you can define as a kind of namespace plus additional features, classes, fragments, additions to the concepts that you just defined, model class. Let's say, for instance, you have a mapper to MongoDB. So you can say, make sure that all of my special classes, special attributes are somehow mapped in a unique or canonical way to the database. And this is how this is actually done. We can create these additional structures that are called collaborations, and we can define. This looks more complicated in the Jupyter notebook if you look at it at full scale. Yeah? What you actually have is additions to, let's say, the concept class. Yeah? So it's some increment that makes it mappable to some database backend. Obviously, there's some behavior there, right? So let's say saving operations are defined and so forth. Actually, operations that you can execute. Then we do this composition step again. Yeah? Composition means you can always take the base structure and add these additional features, and you can get a new behavioral or behavior-rich model that you then can use in the next step to create a new parser. And this time, this is the only difference. It's exactly the same snippet as before. But what you get is you have this MongoDB model, and this will be the one that already behaves correctly. It has save and delete and database operations available. That's the only difference. Otherwise, it's the same syntax processor, only that refined concepts are being instantiated. So then finally, if you execute this, then you actually get, so to say, this more or less this read my mind behavior, right? So you process my script, and just after having processed my domain-specific script, you can already use the concepts in there, right? There is no additional means. So you just defined here the concept block. Then you created this model, you parsed it, created the model, and behind the scenes you got some concepts, some tickle concepts, tickle commands that you can use to create new blocks, create new posts. And then you can run certain predefined operations. This is then depending on the domain that you're working with, right? So what I showed you in this, from this bird's eye perspective is you have this systematic way of defining a language model. You can define one syntax, but you can also define other syntaxes, alternative ones. Yeah? You can just define another parser that uses the same model behind the scenes, but has the same mapping rules, right? These parsing rules that instantiate directly to a model, to a concept. Just by doing so, you can sort of say hot swap even a syntax, even during runtime. Yeah? So you can use multiple versions of the syntax if this is a requirement. Yeah, so what is on my wish list, so to say? So as I said before, the tooling, 1 minute, thanks. granted, this fits into 1 minute. It's a long wish list, but it fits into 1 minute. So I would like to have this C implemented. Yeah, so this, right now I'm using the scripted infrastructure by Andreas. But there's also a very neat C-level. Basically, you have a virtual machine that does this parsing expression handling, yeah? And this can be mapped. This is one of my research topics that I would like to work on is to have incremental parsing. So incremental parsing is very important if you want to build language tooling, right? A syntax highlighter. Because it's interactive, you type something in our TK console, right? And at the moment, you want to have feedback on what you're typing. This is called, and you need partial parsers to do so. And partial parsing for PECs is, for these parsing expression grammars, is still an ongoing research topic because it has certain computational boundaries and so. But this is very interesting. And I also would like to use Mark Janssen's TickleJupiter to make little IDEs, right? Generate little IDEs, little editors for these little languages if you want, right? So this is like my third package. So I blew the time window. Questions? But this is due, right, at this point. And if you still need a summer read, it's a very easygoing summer read. It's just 150 pages, and it has a lot of Tickle in there. There's a Springer book, and that contains Tickle. Code, Tickle code, I'm saying. So if you want a Tickle summer code read, then this is your book. And if you do the Tickle way and you just want to try it out, then there is all these executable tutorials, so to say, on the GitHub repository. And I'm happy to show you then the working example, I hope, in the pause, in the break. So I answered all questions.
Now there is this special construct tool to define the grammar by which the other thing will be parsed. Mm-hmm. Does this grammar also involve some kind of tokenization step?
Yeah, that it's as I said before, the tokenization, so to say, is built into it's a one-step thing. It's not a two-pass thing; it's a one-pass. So all what you would otherwise tokenize or lex or scan right before is done in the same step. So it's one grammar, and they are just defined at the lower level granularity, so to say, of rules. Right. So they are just defined. These are the typical. If you say these are keywords, right? This could be tokens in another syntax processing. Then this is dealt with. So it's just here, it's in one. It's like scannerless, it's called scannerless passing or lexerless passing. So, I leave the floor to Rolf then, okay?
Where did you learn so well English?
Pardon?
Where did you learn so well English?
In Paris.
Tout à fait, oui. Je crois pas moi, hein?
Yeah. No. I don't know. Okay. Das habe ich in Paris gelernt, exactly, yes.